The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 16, Text Number 15. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on December 30th, 2015, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Te yoga mayaya arabdha parameshta maha udayam prachu prajanlaya prajanlaya vipra prahrista Chubita Tavacha Te Yoga Maya Rabdha Parameshta Mahodayam Prochu Pranjalayo Vipra Prahishta Chuchiba Prahishta Chubita Tavacha Te yoga maya rabdha Parameshya mahodayam Prochu pranjalayo vipra Prahrista chubita tvacha Te those yoga maya through his internal potency, Avrabdha had then revealed Parameshya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahaudayam, multi-glories, Prochu spoke, Panjalaya, with folded hands, Vipra, the four Brahmanas, Prahrishta, extremely delighted, Chubita Tvacha, hair standing on end. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The four Brahman sages were nevertheless extremely delighted to behold him, and they experienced a thrill throughout their bodies. Then they spoke as follows to the Lord, who revealed the multi-glories of the Supreme Personality through his internal potency, Yoga Maya. Purport. The sages were almost too puzzled to speak before the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the first time, and the hairs of their bodies stood erect due to their extreme joy. The highest opulence in the material world is called Parameshya, the opulence of Brahma. But that material opulence of Brahma, who lives on the topmost planet within this material world, cannot compare to the opulence of the Supreme Lord, because the transcendental opulence in the spiritual world is caused by yoga maya, whereas the opulence in the material world is caused by mahamaya.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam
Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So this is Krishna consciousness as described here with these four sages. They experienced a thrill so thrilling that their hairs were standing on end. This is when you know you're really getting connected with Krishna, when your hairs stand on end in ecstasy. But until that time, you have to have faith. Such ecstasy is awaiting me. Such happiness is awaiting me. In the beginning, sometimes it's difficult. It's not pleasant even. At least it appears not pleasant. Actually, Krishna consciousness is always super pleasant, super ecstatic. But due to the fact that we're conditioned by this material nature, we're under the modes of nature still to certain extent, we're still misidentifying with these bodies and these minds. Because of that, sometimes we don't feel like super ecstatic at every minute, you know what I mean? Sometimes we don't feel, we hardly feel like super ecstatic the whole day. We're just dragging through, isn't it? So how do we get from this state of being conditioned to the state of becoming super ecstatic like these four sages are experiencing? Well, you have to follow in the footsteps of these great sages. You have to become a surrendered devotee. You have to follow the authorities. You have to follow your spiritual master. You have to absorb yourself in the transcendental sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Are you paying attention to me? Are you listening to me? You need to pay attention. That's how you become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. If your mind wanders, you let your mind wander here and there, you know, all around the universe, circling around the Milky Way or whatever, you're not going to get it. You'll stay in the material world. So one has to learn how to focus, how to tune in to Krishna. I say, tune in and turn on to the transcendental dimension beyond time and space. Actually, we have nothing to do with these material bodies. We have nothing to do with these material minds. We are a residents of the spiritual world, but now we're foolishly misidentifying ourselves with matter, with a little boy's body or an old man's body. This is all misidentification. A girl's body, this is all misidentification. So the way to get out of this trap is you have to tune in to the transcendental sound vibrations. Golokara Prema Dana Harinama Sankirtana. These transcendental sound vibrations, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, are coming from the spiritual world. They're an import from the spiritual world. And the glorification also, like the Bhagavatam class, the Gita class, all of these words that are being spoken, actually these are not our words. These are the words coming from Krishna, you see. So when we tune in to this transcendental, as Prabhupada said, Guru Parampara radio, and we tune in to this, the transmission of Shabda Brahman, transcendental sound vibration, that pulls us out of misidentification with these material bodies and brings us into a transcendental dimension which is qualitatively one with God, if you can imagine. Being qualitatively one with God, yes. God is eternal. We are eternal. God is full of bliss. We are full of bliss. God is full of knowledge. We are full of knowledge, you see. So when you actually become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, one achieves qualitative oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although quantitatively, there's a gulf of difference. Just like here, we have the Pacific Ocean. So you can take one drop of Pacific Ocean, and it is indeed Pacific Ocean, but it is not the Pacific Ocean. Is it? Qualitatively, yes, it's Pacific Ocean. It has the same chemical composition as the entire ocean. But quantitatively, you can't float a cruise ship in it. Is it? So by this process of connecting with Krishna through the transcendental sound vibrations coming from Krishna, from the spiritual masters, coming from the devotees who are purely preaching the transcendental message of Krishna, and we tune into these transcendental sound vibrations, we are allowed, we are privileged by the mercy of Krishna and the devotees, we are privileged to enter into a new dimension of consciousness, which is completely beyond all the sufferings of this material world. In the material world, we're being whipped by hunger, by thirst, by lamentation, by old age, by disease, by death, being whipped. See. But as soon as you come to the transcendental platform, it's just something out there in the material energy. It's all it is. You see. It's not me. Something happening out there in the material energy. The devotee becomes situated solidly within the internal potency of the Lord. So in any situation, he's not disturbed. That is the advanced position, but that is available for us if we continue to follow the simple program that Prabhupada has given us, chanting every day at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra, avoiding illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. By following the simple recipe that Prabhupada has given, we can cook up pure devotional service within our hearts. It's actually already there. It's like the fire is already existing within the match. You simply have to strike it. So the pure love of God is already there. We simply have to bring it out by disciplining ourselves. Prabhupada wrote, disciple means discipline. He learns how to discipline his thoughts, his words, his deeds, in all times, places, and circumstances, so that all of them are pleasing to Guru and Krishna. That's his whole mood. He doesn't want to try to please, of course he does please himself, but he knows the devotee, you see. He knows the art of how to please himself, actually how to please himself. He knows what is his actual self. Pure devotee of Krishna is the actual self. So the actual self becomes satisfied by engaging in pure devotional service, purely for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of the spiritual master, for the pleasure of the devotees, the sadhus. The devotee learns how to remold his whole way of thinking, his whole way of seeing reality. Previously, we had a completely materialistic vision, but by going on hearing, day after day, week after week, year after year, immersing ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper in this transcendental knowledge, Bhagavatam, Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc., it completely gives us a new vision of what is real and what is unreal. Completely opposite of what we used to see. The material vision is to think of this body as the all in all, and spirituality is some kind of a hoax propagated by religionists who want to exploit me. That's what people think. They think religion, like what did Marx say? Religion is the opiate of the people. It's some opium they give to drug the people, is it? So this is complete flip over, completely flips over the whole vision. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we understand that, yes, there is God. There has to be God. The atheists say this God is just some blind faith, and this Godism is just some fanatical blind faith, but actually it's completely scientific. If you analyze it very thoughtfully and carefully, you can understand that things don't come out of nothing. Atheism is a dogma based on a dogma of everything comes out of nothing. That's what atheism is. It's simply dogma. To say everything comes out of nothing, and then give me some proof. How did Newton deduce the law of gravity? He saw many apples falling from many trees. So he deduced that all the apples from all the trees will fall. You see. So, we see that things come from things. We don't see anything coming out of nothing. So therefore we can deduce that existence itself doesn't come out of nothing. This whole universe, our multi-universes we learned from the Vedas that we're situated in right now, multi-worlds actually that we're in right now, this is not coming out of nothing. It can't. Because nothing comes out of nothing. That's a scientific fact. It can be proven. Nothing comes out of nothing. So there is an original substance. There has to be. Scientifically, there has to be. So what is that original substance? Some say it's the impersonal Brahman. Well, let's analyze that. Here we have a reality in which we're situated. We see so many persons. I'm a person, you're a person, there's so many persons everywhere. So, can the source of persons be an imperson? Can you get gold out of a goldless gold mine? Can you get persons out of an impersonal existential mine? No. You don't get gold out of a goldless gold mine. You don't get persons out of an impersonal existential mine. Persons come from persons. You see, gold comes from a stock of gold. So the original source, therefore, must necessarily be a person. And then to find out who is that person, that's the next step. All right, we understand there is an original person. And who is that original person, you see? Then one can do research. The research has already been done by great Vedic scientists. It has been concluded that that supreme person is called Bhagavan, one who possesses all opulences. And he has unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, unlimited fame. It's been deduced by the great sages, by realization and by analysis. They have deduced the supreme person must be of these. All these things that are considered opulences: power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. He must possess them unlimitedly; otherwise, he cannot be the supreme. You see. So, is there a person somewhere then who has unlimited power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame? Is there some person who is actually Bhagavan, who is full in all of these opulences? So one can study all the great personalities in history. And by doing so, you can actually, well, yeah, there is some person. There is a person. His name is Krishna. And he has unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, unlimited fame, unlimited renunciation. You'd say, renunciation? All those girlfriends, one could ask, you see. So this, but Grandfather Bhishma, at the Rajasuya Yagya, there was some discussion as who is the most renounced. They were thinking Bhishma Dev was the most renounced, you see. Because he has his vow that he would never marry. But he said, no, Krishna is more renounced than me. If I had been there in the forest with all those girls, I would have fallen down from brahmachari life. But Krishna, therefore, is more renounced than me. He is the greatest renunciate. So Grandfather Bhishma has confirmed that Krishna is the greatest renunciate. So as far as beauty goes, who can compete with Krishna? He's really beautiful, actually. He's so amazingly, inconceivably, splendorously beautiful person. Every aspect of Krishna, his feet, his navel, his hands, his ears, his hair, his eyes, his nose, his mouth. Every single aspect of Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful, you see. And power, Krishna is the supreme power over everything. Not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. Who is more powerful than Krishna? You see? Krishna appears in the form of death and completely disempowers all the so-called powerful people of this world. Knowledge, Krishna knows everything. Sarvagya, he's known as Sarvagya, the one who knows everything. Everything, past, present, and future. There's nothing that Krishna doesn't know. He knows absolutely everything. As far as wealthy, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Krishna declares, I own everything. And famous, Krishna is the most famous personality, actually. You may say, but we took a poll in Melbourne. Who is the most famous person? Would Krishna win the poll? Probably not. So you say, well, how can he be the most famous person if the Melbourneites don't recognize he's the most famous person? Well, you have to take the total existence. I see. If you take the poll of all the personalities of all of existence, Krishna has a 99.9% recognition. So actually, Krishna is the most famous of all people. There's nobody more famous than Krishna. Power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. Therefore, Krishna is indeed Bhagavan. So, if we can connect with that person, Bhagavan, we find out, how can I get in good with them, you know? This is like if there's some big person in this material world, people think, how can I get in good with them, you know? How can I get in good with the prime minister or some famous person? It'd be really nice to be part of his inner circle, you know, one could think like that. So how do you get in good with Krishna? It's an open secret. It's the secret. Rajaguyam. It is the most secret of all secrets. Bhagavad Gita tells you what you can do to get in good with Krishna, be one of his insiders. That's called a devotee, you see. A devotee is an insider. One who is in with Krishna, he's called a devotee. So Krishna gives the whole formula, how to do it, very, very nicely, perfectly, scientifically presented. Manmanama mamadbhakto janjimang namaskaru mamivashashayuktvayavang anmanakpadai atmanang matpadayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances, absorb yourself in me, worship me, and surely you will come to me. You'll be one of my intimate insiders. If you follow my instructions, Krishna is actually waiting for us. He's just waiting. When will they come back? When will they come back? When will they come back? He's at this very minute, he's very, very deeply, strongly, intensely hankering for us to return to him. So it's time for us to stop being so dull-headed and get back to our original position. Why are we disappointing Krishna by remaining attached to the material nature? We're disappointing him. That person has given us our very existence. That person has given us everything. Why should we keep disappointing him by our hesitancy to come to pure devotional service, to hang in some middle position? You see, why are we doing this? This is our less intelligence. We should take full advantage of this inconceivable mercy coming down from his divine grace. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astatarasadashishimad Esi Bhaktivadanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. We should take full advantage of this mercy coming down to us through Prabhupada and those who are strictly following Prabhupada. We're getting great mercy from these people. We should take advantage of this and get really serious now about Krishna consciousness. That from here on out, I have no business but to please Krishna with my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. It should be for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to please my Guru, to please Srila Prabhupada, to please Lord Chaitanya, to please all the great Acharyas, to please Krishna. You see, that's my only business from now on. That's the mood we need to be in. If we want to taste the nectar, if we want to get free of all anxiety, that mood is there, available for us right now. It's called pure devotional service. It's available. We just have to grab for it. We just have to beg Krishna to give it to us. Please, my dear Lord, I've been a rascal sense gratifier for millions and billions of lifetimes. Please give me the ultimate mercy. Please bestow upon me pure devotional service. There's a very special prayer that we, in which we beg for pure devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So are there any questions? Here's some written questions, okay? How to develop faith in Krishna's holy name? By associating with it, give yourself a chance to become Krishna conscious. Get up early in the morning, take your bath, and say, okay, now this is the greatest blessing I've ever received in millions and millions of lifetimes. Now I have some japa beads in my hand, and Krishna is going to appear on my lips and in my heart. He's going to manifest. If I will chant with focus and with sincerity, Krishna will manifest and bless me. So if you really take up that chanting in a very sincere, meditative, humble mood, you'll taste something. You'll experience something. And that experience will give you great faith. And that will give you faith to go even deeper the next time you chant, which will give you even more faith. It will enable you to go even more deeper in this way. And you can completely wipe all of the skepticism out of your heart in due course of time. I have no taste for chanting. I've been chanting for many years now, but it's only counting. It's offensive chanting. Please guide me how to chant attentively. Well, I just did. Okay, as a practicing brahmachari, it is very important to retain semen within the body. However, when one sleeps at night, sometimes sensual dreams come invited. How does one overcome this issue? Be careful what you eat before you take rest. Don't eat rich, heavy prasadam before you take rest. Which demigod is responsible for Maya? Well, Durga Devi, or Maya Devi, is the one. She plays a dual role, just like the warden of a prison. She's the warden of the prison of this material existence. So she has a twofold purpose. She punishes those who are determined to be rascals, and she helps those who want to become liberated to become liberated. What is the need for introduction of a disciple course? Well, our senior devotees in ISKCON noticed that so many devotees are getting initiated, but they didn't really know what they were doing. Like, you know, they didn't fully understand what initiation is. So it's our duty to educate everyone in this movement how to be, you know, how to be a disciple, how to be whatever your service is, how to do that in the proper mood. So the devotees would have a proper understanding of what it means to be a disciple, not become lackadaisical or not to become fanatical, to have a proper balanced understanding. Therefore, our leaders have come up with this wonderful thing called the Disciple Course. It's a very good... I also took it. It helped me to be a better disciple of Prabhupada. Sometimes I cannot feel anything while praying to the deities. Well, I have to applaud, I have to say, I have to learn from you because I never feel anything. Well, I could say, I could humbly say, I don't. You're above me because sometimes you feel something, so you're better, higher than me. I could say like that to make a point. But it's an easy way to actually feelingly pray to the deities. My dear Lord, I know you're here. I know you're present. I don't feel, I can't realize how you're present because I'm so dull, and I don't feel how you're present because I'm so dull, but please bless me, my dear Lord Chaitanya. I can actually see you, the Supreme Lord. I can actually feel how you're present. You just beg for it. If you're not feeling anything, there's your position from which you can actually approach the Lord, and feelingly, my Lord, I don't feel anything. Please help me. You see? So take this, whatever your lack is, and use that as a stepping stone. You understand? You can use your deficiencies as a stepping stone. That's the trick. It works really well. I do it all the time. Prabhupada himself said to his spiritual master, that he said, save me a fallen, your divine grace. Save me. I'm fallen, Guru Maharaj. Please save me. Prabhupada prayed that way. So what's our position? You see? Prabhupada said, I am a fallen soul, please save me. So how should we pray? If we think we're not fallen souls who have to beg for being saved, we're an illusion, or simply an illusion. Can you please speak something about the importance of Mangal Arati? It's absolutely auspicious. It's stated in the ninth prayer, you see, it is Mangal Arti, the Gurvastakam prayers, are given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And the ninth prayer, which goes along as a footnote for the eight prayers, Gurvastakam means eight prayers, but there's a ninth prayer which describes the benefit of chanting these eight prayers. The ninth prayer says that anyone who will chant this Gurvastakam prayers during the Brahma Muhurta hour will achieve the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna in the spiritual world upon leaving his body. So you have to think, where would you like to go at the time of death? If you'd like to go to sleep and wake up in Krishna Loka, then Mangal Arati is for you. Either here at the temple or at home, you should sing the Gravastakam prayers, offer a little puja. Everyone should sing Gravastakam prayers every day if you want to wake up in Krishna Loka when you leave your body. If you don't care where you go, well, then do whatever you want. And get what your mind is fixed in. But those who have that desire to wake up with Krishna in the spiritual world, they sing their Gavastakam prayers every morning with a little arti ceremony. Is it not important to get material knowledge first to understand spiritual knowledge? Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedo bayam saha. The Sri Shapana says you must cultivate knowledge of nescience and of transcendence side by side to get the full blessings of immortality. So go ahead, learn 1 + 1 = 2. You can use that material knowledge in the service of Krishna. Just like I learned how to turn on this flashlight, you see. So I can read with my old man's eyes, I can read without glasses just by having a flashlight, you see. So some material knowledge I'm using for Krishna, how to turn on a flashlight. That's material knowledge. But you use it in the service of Krishna. That's the key. How can you say that Krishna is the real God? What about Muslims who are following Allah? Krishna consciousness means to understand the science of God. We are not a religious sentimentalist, sectarianists. The Krishna consciousness movement is unique in the world because we are teaching the science of God, not some sectarian conception. We understand that there is one Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. That Supreme Person has unlimited names, and Allah is one of them. So Prabhupada appreciated, he said, Allah Akbar. He appreciated that. He mentions it sometimes, the Allah Akbar that they say. We appreciate God is great, you see. We appreciate. We can say Allah Akbar, Hare Krishna, praise Jesus. For us, these are all transcendental vibrations that purify our hearts. We have no problem accepting Allah as the Supreme Person. He's Krishna himself, just another way of approaching and understanding Krishna, that's all. Have you seen Krishna?
Yeah, I just did.
Standing on the altar. By his mercy. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna seems like a dictator. Yes, he's a benevolent dictator. Actually, they had this idea now, dictators are evil, we have to have democracy, but actually a benevolent dictator is a million times better than these democracies going on nowadays. if you look at it, the America has this idea, you know, you got to have democracy, and you got to have democracy. Just a little political side points here, but you know, this idea, well, Saddam Hussein's a dictator, you got to get rid of him, you got to have democracy in Iraq, and that'll solve all the problems. So, you know, we got to get rid of this dictator in Syria, and that'll solve all the problems. And so they weakened the Syrian dictator, they wiped out the Iraqi dictator, and now ISIS is the result. You see? So this idea, you got to get rid of dictators, it's a silly thing. You have to, actually, Vedic culture means dictator. King is dictator. Vedic culture means pure devotee dictator. That's the government in Vedic culture. A pure devotee dictator, the king, is a dictator. But he's benevolent. He's not one of these Hitler type or type of dictators. He's very benevolent. He's like a loving father. So actually, that is the ideal government. And this idea we have to get rid of dictators. No, make them Krishna conscious. It has not worked, this idea of going to wipe out dictators and establish democracy everywhere. It doesn't work. It's been a political nightmare with it, trying to wipe out dictators to make the world a better place. Same thing in, Libya. What would be the destination of a person who is favorable towards devotees, prays to Krishna, but finds it difficult to do any devotional practices like chanting or following the regulated principles? He'll become a devotee in his next life, in this material world, so he can learn how to chant. But if he can do it in this lifetime, he'll go back to Godhead. As a practicing devotee, despite chanting Hare Krishna as best I can, I seem not to comprehend that God is actually a person for me. It is a person. For me, it is mind-boggling. You have to read Prabhupada's books. You're not reading the books, I can tell you. You're not reading the books. You have to read the books. And when you do that, Prabhupada will convince you, absolutely convince you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that God is a person. Can you offer any advice? Yes, that's what you do. You've got to read Prabhupada's books. They're not just for selling, they're for reading. Awesome. Most important thing is we read the books. Sometimes I get fully enthusiastic in coming to Mangal Arati and chanting my rounds in the morning, but sometimes I just become callous or careless of everything. How can I maintain my enthusiasm always? Just be enthusiastic. For me, it's easy. I've told it many times, but Prabhupada gave me an order. When I was a young brahmachari, I wrote Prabhupada a fired-up letter about wanting to spread Krishna consciousness because I was with Vishnujan Swami, so I got inspired by Vishnujan Swami. This was when I sent my dakshina. I didn't hand it to him at the yoga because Prabhupada was initiating me by mail, so I had to mail my dakshina into Prabhupada. And he wrote me back very mercifully. I mean, he said, I can see you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy who is eager to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now just continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Well, I decided to capitalize on that one. I got a blessing from Prabhupada that if I was always enthusiastic, I would get blessed by Krishna. So you just do it. Say, okay, I don't care if I feel good, I feel bad, I'm going to be enthusiastic. You just say, okay, I will be enthusiastic, and that's it. You just tell yourself, okay, mind, I don't care what your attitude is, we're going to be enthusiastic today, my dear mind. You see what I'm saying? You just got to become the master of your mind instead of the slave of your mind. I don't care what you're thinking about, mind, I'm going to be enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. You just do it, that's all, you see. You do the kirtan enthusiastically, just like Aniruddha's. I was so inspired by his enthusiastic kirtan, incredible enthusiasm in his kirtan, you see. There's a good example for you. Aniruddha Prabhu, his enthusiasm, you see. So just embrace enthusiasm as something you're going to do. Everything enthusiastically, whether you feel it or not, you're going to do it. And the feeling will come. Prabhupada said, if you don't feel the enthusiasm for dancing, dance and the enthusiasm will come. So just say, okay, whether enthusiasm or not, I'm going to do it enthusiastically. And lo and behold, enthusiasm is there. You see, it works. Try it. You'll like it. Okay. What is the relation between food and Krishna consciousness? Food can either make you Krishna conscious or it can destroy your Krishna consciousness, depending on whether you offer it or not. So it's your choice. Is it not important to do exercise in the morning rather than chanting? Well, chanting is the ultimate exercise. You must exercise every morning. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And if you dance in the kirtan, you exercise your body too. Dance enthusiastically in the kirtan, you got your aerobic exercise. We cannot repay to Srila Prabhupada's disciple who have struggled very hard to set up a temple for us. They have sown the seed and we are enjoying the fruits of those. Please, what we can do to please them the most? All those predecessors, just like I was thinking about Madhuvisha Prabhu, who was a great leader here. I really relished that video when Prabhupada shows the airport. You've all seen it, I'm sure, many times. So wonderful thing. He is so enthusiastic, Madhuvisha Prabhu. The airplane pulls up and the kirtan and his whole mood. I mean, how much indebted we are to him for that service he did here in Melbourne to establish Krishna consciousness. So he's now left his body, so I'm sure he's in a very wonderful place right now. So we should, we want to please him, we want to please Prabhupada by showing that we're carrying on that same enthusiasm that he had when he established ISKCON here in Melbourne. We want to, and those others who worked with him, we want to, or someone may have come before him, but I don't know, but we want to carry on with that same enthusiasm that they manifested to create this wonderful temple so we can go on increasing the glories of ISKCON Melbourne unlimitedly for the next 10,000 years at least. Okay. For people who follow the Brahma Kumar Sampradaya, what destiny do they achieve if they know that the Kumaras are pure the Kumara Sampradaya? There is a Kumara Sampradaya. It's one of the four Sampradayas. So what a destination do they achieve? Now, I don't know if that Sampradaya is even still going on with an unbroken line of succession. So I don't know if it's really practical to join that Sampradaya right now. So we'd have to analyze that before we can speak further. How do we explain to people why we don't eat onions and garlic? Actually, it's stated in the Manusmriti that there's a verse. It says onions and garlic are not suitable for eating. And if you go to a health food store and you want to get some garlic pills for some people think it's good for their health. What do they do with the garlic pills? They deodorize them. Why do they deodorize them? Because garlic stinks. So why would you want to offer something stinky to God? You see? Stinky food, onions and garlic. There's an old saying we used to have when I was a kid, onions on your breath. You know, they used to have this, in the U.S. they have a thing called fried onions, kind of like onion pakoras. They dip it in batter and they fry the onion pakoras. And somebody eats those, you go, can you brush your teeth before you come in the room, please? So onions stink and garlic stinks. Now, if you're into it and you've been eating them, you think, oh, it's like heaven. Onions and garlic. But someone who's not eating them, they stink. They're foul. Okay. So we just have two more and then we'll wrap it up. Oh, something on the internet is coming. Okay. Well, we have quite a few people tuning in from around the world this morning. Let's see what we got here on the internet. Okay. Brian Williams. what can we do if we've had a glimpse of love of Krishna, but due to selfishness, we don't take up devotional service? Well, you need to be, Brian, you need to become a servant of your, you need to use your intelligence instead of being a servant of your mind, you see. The mind will say, well, don't get too much into this Hare Krishna thing. I mean, you know, let's keep our distance a little bit, the mind will tell you. But you're, with your intelligence, you see, you should analyze, wow, I've gotten a taste of something, a pleasure which is greater than any pleasure that one can have, even to the post of Brahmaji in the material world. I've gotten a taste better than anything that one can have in any situation, anywhere in the whole material existence. So why should I not go after that and cultivate it further, you see? So just be a, follow, don't follow your mind, use your intelligence, and then you'll be in good shape. Okay, so now, see, why is a mushroom to be avoided? Prabhupada says because they grow in a filthy place. Often they grow in stool. Mushrooms grow out of stool. Although Prabhupada did say they could be taken, but not to offer the deities, but, you know, it's kind of like a quasi position. So we avoid them because they are, Prabhupada said that they're coming out of a filthy place. Because Prabhupada advised us not to take them. Although he gave a concession, they could be taken. Prabhupada also said better not to take advantage of concessions. Now, in our Hong Kong temple, where the Chinese are very accustomed to eating mushrooms, they're actually, when I was there with Tamal Krishna and Giridhari Swami many years ago, Tamal Krishna Goswami was saying how they were serving mushrooms in the Hong Kong temple for the sake of attracting the people. But I doubt they were offering the deity, you see. So, but that's not our general, that was an exception because of the Chinese preaching that Tamal Krishna Goswami was spearheading at that time. The whole strategy of how to attract the Chinese. So, but it's not really necessary here in Melbourne, certainly, and we certainly don't do it in Austin. We don't need a mushrooms. We have plenty of nice things without eating mushrooms. It's not necessary. Whether Krishna consciousness is another form of Marxism. Well, that's quite a question. Wow, I get some interesting questions sometimes. In fact, somebody just wrote an email. They said, do you Hare Krishnas have a mantra for invoking mermaids? Oh, we get some really interesting questions sometimes. Prabhupada actually said the Nagapatnis were mermaids. But we don't have any mantra for invoking. It's another form of Marxism. Well, we can ask Marx about that. Mr. Marx, Mr. Karl Marx, do you say that we should surrender to the Supreme Person as the source of all existence? Is that your philosophy? I don't think it is. Marx was not preaching a philosophy of surrender to the Supreme Person as the source of all existence. Therefore, there's a gulf of difference between Krishna consciousness and Marxism. This is obviously, if I can even check the handwriting, the same person who was acting about Krishna and the dictator. I can understand it's the same person who's asked this question. Actually, let's go a little deeper into this subject matter. I want to make it very clear to you all that Krishna is not a dictator as we would think of in this material world. In fact, Krishna is such an amazing person that when you completely surrender unto him, he accepts you as his dictator. Krishna accepts you as his dictator. He becomes under your dictation. Prabhupada explains like this. He says, by love, Krishna becomes conquered by his devotee. Krishna is a jita, one who cannot be conquered by anyone. But when the devotee approaches him in pure loving mood, Krishna becomes jita, or conquered by his devotee's love. So ultimately, you get to be the dictator. When you fully give yourself to Krishna, then Krishna fully gives himself to you. It's inconceivable what kind of relationship that is, but I can tell you from what Prabhupada has taught us, it's the most unbelievably sublime thing you could ever, beyond what you could ever imagine what it is like, when that person who's the dictator of everything becomes under your control, just like he was under Mother Yasoda's control and Arjuna's control, you see. He becomes under your control. So don't think Krishna is some nasty, mean dictator. You got it completely wrong. You're totally wrong if you think like that. Krishna is so amazing. He becomes the sold-out servant of his own devotees. You see. Okay. So he's so kind that even though you denied his existence, you were offensive to him in so many ways, he has traveled with you as a super soul for millions of lifetimes. Now, do you have any, just think of your very best friend that you have in the world. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a companion, your very best friend. If you got a prison sentence, would they come and sit in the prison with you to keep you company in the prison? No. But Krishna does. He travels with you as a super soul, sitting side by, he goes with body to body to body, he goes with you. He's your constant companion. That's how much love he has for you. So don't think he's some mean, nasty dictator. This is absolutely an asinine conception. So let's see if there's any more from the internet. Oh, that's it from the internet. So this is our, now we're heading out today to Sydney and on to Santiago and Argentina and Canada and Los Angeles, then back to Austin for a while. And so we're just really, really appreciative to all of you, especially Aniruddha Prabhu, who always opens his heart up to us. We're very much indebted to all of you and appreciate the wonderful Krishna consciousness going on here, how you're worshiping the deities is just so beautiful and wonderful. And how you're preaching here, distributing books and cultivating people, it's just a very enlivening. This temple is one of the best temples in the whole movement from our experience traveling all over the world. We feel a special privilege and honor whenever allowed to come here. So please continue as you're doing this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement that you're spreading here in the Melbourne area. And we look forward to coming back, I think it's in July. It's our next visit. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.